Man, it's good to be here tonight, and good to be with my good friend, Pastor Roger Jimenez, and it's good to be preaching in my hometown, Sacramento, California, where I was born and raised, to have my family here, lots of old friends, and I want to start out tonight in John chapter 15, if you'll turn there, John chapter number 15. I'm going to come back to Genesis 37, but the title of my sermon tonight is Why They Hate Us. Why They Hate Us. In Genesis 37, we have the story of Joseph, who was a godly young man, and the Lord was with him, but he was hated of his brethren. And it says over and over again in that chapter how they hated him, and it actually gives us a few different reasons in that chapter why they hated him, and I'm going to go over those reasons tonight. But before I get into that, I just want to explain to you who hates us, who are they, and who are we, right? Why do they hate us? Well, the Bible says of Christians, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So it should come of no surprise that godly Christians are going to be hated in this world. Look down at your Bible there in John chapter 15, verse 18. The Bible says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. So Jesus Christ talks about the fact that he was hated, and he tells his disciples that if they hated me, they will most certainly hate you. The disciple is not better than his master. The servant's not better than his Lord. So if they hated me, they're going to hate you as well. In Luke chapter 6, if you would flip over to Acts 28, in Luke chapter 6, it says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So the Bible says the prophets were all hated and I'm hated and you're going to be hated. But when they hate you, just leap for joy, because this just comes with the territory. It's part of being a godly Christian. Amen. He says in Acts chapter 28, this is when the apostle Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he has some of the Jews coming to hear from him, and he's going to preach the gospel of Jesus unto them. And they don't really know anything about Paul. They don't really know anything about the gospel. Here's what they say in verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. Saying, we haven't really heard anything bad about you specifically, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. We can't really pinpoint what's so bad about you, but all we know is that everywhere we go, everybody hates you. Everybody's talking bad about you, so we want to see what you're all about. You know, it's funny. I just talked to a pastor. I went out to lunch with a pastor yesterday, and he said that he first heard about me because he just wanted to figure out, why does everybody hate this guy? Everyone I talk to, everywhere I turn, they just all hate Pastor Anderson. And I was just trying to figure out, why do they hate this guy? So I wanted to listen to a bunch of sermons and just get to the bottom of it. You know, and that's true of our movement. It's a hated movement, you know. A lot of people hate me. They hate Faithful Word Baptist Church. They hate Pastor Jimenez, that's for sure. I mean, look what they did to him in the media last year. And none of his brethren, the fundamental Baptist pastors in California, did they come to your defense? Did they encourage you? Did they say, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. We stand with you against the perverts and weirdos. How many of the hundreds of fundamental Baptists in California reached out to you like that? How many of the pastors? None of them. They hate him. Why? They hate me. Why? They hate our church. They hate your church. They hate a lot of us. They hated Jesus. They hated the prophets. They hated the apostles. Why? Why do they hate us? That's the question tonight. Well, let's get the answer from Genesis chapter 37. Go back to Genesis 37. We'll start there with why they hate us. We're going to Ezekiel chapter 34 next for those that are slower with navigating the Bible. We're going to go to Genesis 37, then we're going to end up in Ezekiel 34. But the first reason that they hate us tonight is because we bring their evil report. That's why they hate us, because we bring their evil report. Look down at your Bible there in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. This is where they begin to hate Joseph. They were shepherds. They're taking care of the flocks of their father, and they're doing evil. They're doing wrong. They're doing a bad job. And their dad doesn't understand that or know that. And Joseph is out there working with them, and he realizes what's going on, and he brings their evil report. And that's when they begin to hate him in their hearts, the sons of the concubines. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 7, this is Jesus Christ speaking, the world cannot hate you. Who's he talking to? His unsaved, physical half-brothers, you know, the other sons of Mary that she had with Joseph. He says to them, the world cannot hate you. They were unbelievers at that time. But me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Jesus said, the reason that the world hates me is because I testify of the world that the works thereof are evil. They don't hate you, but that's why they hate me, because I bring their evil report. And today, the reason why the world hates Christians in general is the fact that we bring an evil report on them. Why? Because we speak out against fornication. Amen. You know, the world just accepts fornication, that it's normal, that it's commonplace, that you go out on a date or two, and then you wind up in the sack, you wind up sleeping together, and Christianity says, no! We condemn that. Amen. The world hates us for it. Why? They don't want to hear that that's bad. They don't want to hear anybody speaking out against adultery. They don't want to hear speaking out against drunkenness. They want to go out. They want to get drunk. They want to party. They want to have a good time. They don't want anybody to tell them that that's wicked in the sight of God. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that evil report. This world's filled with covetousness. The people that are lifted up are the people that have the most money. The people that flash the most expensive clothing and expensive toys, and they exalt you. And if you do good unto yourself, then men will praise you for that. When you buy the expensive houses and cars and clothes, and they look up to that, and they lust and have greed for money. And when Christianity comes along and speaks out against that, and when we worship somebody who walked around humble and poor and in sandals and in normal clothing, that didn't go in long fancy robes or anything like that, he preached the word of God humbly, and he was poor. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not what the world wants to hear. We testify of the world that the works thereof are evil, and therefore they hate us for that. In John chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but the famous passage in John chapter 3 talks about right after talking about salvation in John 3:16 and giving us those famous scriptures that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it talks about how God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why? Because he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. Because he believeth not the record that God gave his son, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But listen to the next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So the reason that men love darkness rather than light is because their deeds were evil. But then he takes it a step further and says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They don't just prefer the darkness to the light. They actually hate the light. Neither do they come to the light because they don't want their deeds to be reproved, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. But today, it makes sense that the world would hate us, that unsaved people, unbelievers, people who live a really godless or lascivious life, would not want to be around Christianity, not want to be reminded of the God of the Bible, because it's a condemnation to them, because they're living such a sinful life. They want to forget that these rules even exist. Right, right. They want to think, well, no, fornication's normal, as long as you love each other. You know, drinking's fine, just so long as there's a designated driver. You know, get drunk, puke your guts out, but just have that designated driver. You know, go ahead and do whatever you want. You know, it makes sense that the world would hate Christians because their deeds are evil. They don't want to come to the light. They want to forget that God even exists. Many of them that are reprobates, they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. But here's the thing about that. Those aren't the only ones who hate us. It's not just unsaved people who hate us. It's not just the world. I mean, the Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It's no marvel that the world hates us. But the sad fact is today that even our fellow preachers hate us. Even our fellow independent Baptists hate us. Even many saved, born again, children of God hate us tonight. And the question is why? See, Joseph wasn't just hated by the Amorites or by the Hittites that he was around. Joseph was actually hated of his own brethren. The sons of Zilpah and the sons of Bilhah were his own brethren. Even Jesus was hated by his own brethren there when they're mocking him and ridiculing him in John chapter 7. But today we're even hated of our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do they hate us tonight? I'll tell you why. Because we bring up their evil report. That's why. You see, if you get the literal story here, the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah were actually shepherds. That's what they did. And what's a synonym of a shepherd? A pastor, right? So a flock of sheep with the shepherd, that's symbolic of a church with a pastor. The Bible tells pastors to feed the flock of God and so forth. So these guys are shepherds. These guys are pastors, and they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing a terrible job. And Joseph brings up their evil report and they hate him for it. Now look, if you would, at Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, the Bible reads, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with wool. With the wool you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought, listen to this, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. and they were scattered because there's no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Today, we have shepherds, we have pastors, and they are not going out and seeking that which is lost. They're not seeking them at all, the Bible says. They're not going out to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm talking about soul winning tonight. Amen. Jesus Christ said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said to us, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Amen. But we've got a bunch of sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah pastoring churches where they're out there feeding themselves and gorging themselves and getting fat on their lazy rear end instead of going out and doing some soul winning. Amen. They're lazy.
Amen. That's right.
They're wicked and slothful today.
Amen.
That's why they hate us. You see, everywhere I go, and I go a lot of places. I go a lot of places around the state of Arizona. I love Arizona, and I like to see all the different parts of Arizona because of the fact that there are just a lot of interesting places, a lot of different Indian reservations and little towns and mountains and canyons and places. And so, you know, I like to go all over Arizona, and we have a thing that we've done at our church for about a decade now called the Small Town Soul Winning. Small town soul winning marathons. And we go to these just really small towns out in the middle of nowhere, and we knock every door in one day and give everybody the gospel who will listen. And now we're really focusing in on the Indian reservations because we found some of the Indian reservations to be some of the most receptive places that we've ever been soul winning. And some of these Indian reservations are so receptive that it'll just blow your mind. I spent 2 days on the White Mountain Apache Reservation, and I presented the gospel more times in those 2 days than I've ever done in my life. I think I presented the gospel about 23 times all the way through in 2 days, just going through the whole plan of salvation about 23 times. In fact, one of those 2 days, I literally the entire day did not knock a single door where the person was not home. Everybody was home. And I did not even run into one person who said no to listening to the gospel.
Amen.
In a whole day. I mean, I think we're about 5 hours of actual soul winning in a town called Cibique, Arizona, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, just surrounded by mountains and totally off the beaten path. No one's passing through this town for any reason unless they're going there on purpose. And I mean, just everybody I talked to said yes. Now, they didn't all get saved. About half of them got saved. But everybody was home. Everybody said yes. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, how did we find this place? Who's ever even heard of this place? This place out in the middle of nowhere. We've never even heard. We don't even know how to pronounce the name of it. And we drove down this windy road to get there. And but you know who was already there when I got there? You want to know who was already there? The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. We see them out knocking doors. We think, here we are, we're going to the ends of the earth, we're going deep into this canyon, we're going deep into this Indian reservation, and it's like that every single time we go to any small town, we go to any Indian reservation, we go to any nook or cranny of the state of Arizona, every single time we're seeing the Mormons and we're seeing the Jehovah's Witnesses. Then we come back to Phoenix, and who do we see? On their little tricycles, the Mormons going down the street. And we see the name tags, and we see the 17-year-old elder. Talk about an oxymoron. We see the elders, and we see the Jehovah's False Witnesses. They're everywhere. I guarantee you it's the same thing here in Sacramento. They're out in force. How many of you have ever had your door knocked by a Jehovah's Witness? Put up your hand. How many of you have ever had your door knocked by a Mormon in your life? Put up your hand. They're everywhere. But you know what I don't see in these small towns? I don't see the Baptists out soul winning. And when I go up and down the streets of Phoenix or Mesa, Arizona, or when I travel to California, or when I travel to other places across the country, I'm not constantly running into other Baptists out soul winning. I'm not constantly running into other evangelical Christians out soul winning. I'm not constantly running into a Bible-believing soul winner, but it seems like the Mormons are everywhere. It seems like the Jehovah's Witnesses are everywhere. Well, you know what? Why don't you do a little research and figure out whether there's more Baptists or more Mormons? There are a lot more Baptists than there are Mormons. There are a lot more Baptists than there are Jehovah's Witnesses. Did you know that if you go to the south of this country, in the southern states, Baptists are more than 50% of the population? It's true. Look it up. It's the truth. Why is it that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses have the reputation, and you know what? They have that reputation for a reason, because we see them out there everywhere we go. Can somebody explain to me why we're not seeing Baptists out there by the droves? Why there aren't a million Baptists knocking doors this Saturday all over America? Look, if every Baptist would go out soul winning, every door would be getting knocked so many times, people would have to put up a sign that said, "No Baptists allowed." We don't want to hear that. Our door was knocked 25 times by Baptists last year, because there are millions of Baptists, millions and millions of them. Let me tell you something. When these shepherds, when these pastors are not going out and seeking the lost, they're not going out to seek and to save that which is lost, they're not going out there and do any soul winning, you know what? That's an evil report. And my name's Joseph here today, and I'm here to bring you and to bring God and everybody their evil report. Amen. That the average independent fundamental Baptist in America is a spiritual son of a concubine, a spiritual bastard of Zilpah, a spiritual bastard of Bilhah. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Amen. And when we bring that evil report, they hate us for it. But it's the truth. Amen. Why do they hate us tonight? I'll tell you why, because they're lazy as hell and we're out there winning souls, doing something for God. And it's like the testimony said earlier today, when you're not doing anything for God, you don't like to watch other people doing something for God. They hate us in their hearts today because we bring their evil report. We make them look bad because they're lazy and they're doing nothing today. It's wicked. It's wicked today. I don't care if they cross the fundamental T and dot the fundamental I. I don't care how short their haircut is. I don't care if they got the white shirt and the crease in the pants and the tie and the cufflinks and they've got it so dialed in with the polish on the shoes and they're sharp as a tack. You know what? If they're not a soul winner, they're not following Christ, because Jesus said, "If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Amen. Imagine the stupidity of actually giving somebody the time of day, of actually listening for 5 seconds to somebody criticizing our church or his church or any of the other pastors here that are zealous about soul winning. to listen to somebody for 5 seconds criticize our soul-winning churches when they have little or no soul-winning at their church, who are they to talk to us about anything? Yeah. I mean, think about that. See, the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, today, your average Baptist, or your average independent Baptist, has this gigantic beam in their eye called no soul winning. Called, and listen to me, and you listen to me good. A door hanger is not soul winning. Amen. Tracts aren't soul winning. Amen. Visitation isn't soul winning. Amen. That is a cheap substitute. It's not even a cheap substitute, it's just not even the same thing. I'm talking about real soul winning. They got soul winning once a month or once a year or once in a blue moon. They go out, they hand out a few door knockers, or they knock three doors and then go to donuts because they knock the address and the door to the right and the door to the left. They hope nobody's home. They touch the door gently and get out of there. For them to have this gigantic beam in their eye of little or no soul winning, weak soul winning, if it's even there at all. And this is what's going on in most independent Baptist churches across America. And then they have the gall to say, I don't think you guys believe right about Israel. Here, let me get this. Look, who gives a rip about some country on the other side of the world? You won't even go across the street and win the soul that's across the street, and you're worried about what's going on the other side of the world. Why don't you worry about your own house? Why don't you keep your own vineyard? Why don't you clean up your own backyard before telling me about what some battle that's going on in the Middle East? Because you're watching a bunch of Fox News and you're watching a bunch of talk radio and pundits and news and everything like that. You're filling your mind with that stuff and you're just like, well, you know, did you know that Pastor Jimenez doesn't support Israel? You know what? Who gives a rip? Because we're giving the gospel to more Jews by accident than they gave the gospel to on purpose. We're doing more for Israel than these people are just by uploading videos to YouTube. Click on the analytics. Some of the people watching are in Israel. But it's just so stupid to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I can't believe that you'd go to that Red Hot Preaching Conference. I mean, did you know that those guys don't support Israel? You know what? You can shut your foolish mouth until I see you out there doing 1/10 of the soul winning that we're doing. Amen. Then let's talk. Oh, those guys aren't loving at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You know, they're so mean down there, right? As you sit on your fat rear end and let the whole world go to hell. Not feeding the flock, just feeding yourself. Just feeding yourself. And they have the gall to hate on us when they don't love the lost. It's wicked and slothful. I mean, to sit there, I mean, just think about how foolish it is. Your church has no soul winning program. Your whole city's going to hell. Your whole state's going to hell. There's an Indian reservation an hour from you, 2 hours from you, 3 hours from you, where people are sitting there just ready to hear the gospel. If you go knock that door, they will open that door. They will listen to the gospel. Many of them will be saved. The fields are white unto harvest. People are just ready to get saved, even in your neighborhood, even in your own backyard, even in Roseville and Elk Grove and South Sac and Citrus Heights and Fair Oaks and West Sacramento. They're all just waiting in Carmichael and waiting in Orangevale and waiting in Woodland and waiting all over this, just waiting for someone to bring them, because there are people out there like that. Right. Yeah. Who cares about all the doors that aren't interested? shake it off and move on, because eventually you'll get to that one that's just sitting there and they're waiting and they want to know the gospel and they want to know the truth. And right now, some pastor somewhere is sitting back all smug like, oh man, that Pastor Jimenez just isn't loving, or he's wrong on Bible prophecy. What a joke.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'd rather hang around with pre-tribbers who are soul winning than somebody who's right on post-trib pre-wrath and letting the whole world go to hell. Any day of the week. I'd rather hang around with the most zealous Zionist pro-Israel person ever that's a soul winner than if somebody understood every replacement theology point in the whole Bible and doesn't love the lost and doesn't care and is letting people go to hell. Where in the world do these people get off criticizing a soul-winning church, a red-hot soul-winning church that's having people saved every week, constantly having people baptized, constantly seeing lives change, reaching atheists, Muslims, Hindus, Jews, agnostics, Catholics, and everybody else with the gospel. But, you know they're messed up on Bible prophecy, don't you? That's what they say about us. He's a heretic because he thinks that, you know, it's pre-wrath instead of pre-trib. He's wrong on Israel. Well, you know what? Last time I checked, we don't live in Israel. Who here has ever been to Israel before? Put up your hand. Who here has been to Israel? All right. The rest of us don't care. We've never even been there. Right? We've never been there. I never want to go there until Jesus is there. When Jesus gets there, I'll go there. Until then, I don't want to go there. I have no interest in going there. It's the Holy Land. This is the Holy Land.
Amen.
You know where the Holy Land is? Wherever God's people get on their knees on any piece of dirt somewhere and pray down the power of God and go out soul winning.
Amen.
That's the Holy Land for me. That's the only Holy Land I'm interested in. Is Arizona. Is Sacramento, California. It's New Orleans, Louisiana. It's wherever Bible-believing churches are, wherever God's people are assembled. Hey, when two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, he's right there in the midst of us.
Amen.
But he's not over there in hearing the prayers of people who don't go through the Son. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's so ridiculous to have this gigantic beam in your eye. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 of not loving the lost, not going soul winning, not care. And then you're worried about Bible prophecy. You're worried about who Babylon is. You know, you're worried about, you know, whether we voted Republican in the last election or whether we went soul winning that day instead. Right? They pick us apart today. They hate us.
They do.
They see us coming with our coat of many colors. And they want to rip it off our backs. They want to beat us up. They want to throw us in a pit somewhere. They wish we would die. They would rejoice when we die. That's what hate is.
Yeah. Right.
Hatred means you wish harm upon someone.
That's right.
You want them to fail. You want them to suffer. You want them to be destroyed. That's how even many of our brothers and sisters in Christ feel about us. Why don't they love us? Why don't they, even if they disagree with us, why wouldn't they just say, well, you know what? I don't agree on the homo thing because I watch a lot of TV. And I don't agree on, you know, Israel, because I watch a lot of Fox News, and I don't agree on the end time stuff, but boy, are those guys winning some people to the Lord.
Amen.
Man alive.
Yeah, come on.
Man, those churches are growing. Man, those people get people saved. How are they rallying 100 soul winners in every city they show up in across America?
Amen.
What's going on? Where do we sign up? No. It's just, oh, those guys, oh. Literally, I've heard over the last 2 months from two different Muslims who got saved as a result of watching the film Marching to Zion.
Amen.
And getting into the preaching and getting the gospel, who were literally persecuted and thrown out of their local church for listening to Pastor Anderson.
Wow.
And they're like, well, that's how I got saved. And I wonder how many Muslims they've got saved. But you know what they want to do? They want to bomb the Muslims into the Stone Age. They want to kill them all and let God sort them out. And you know what? I want to get them saved.
Amen.
I just had a young, you know, oh, Pastor Anderson hates Jews. That's what they claim, right? I don't hate Jews. We had a young man come to our church within the last 2 months. I have a bad concept of time. It was probably like a month and a half ago. He was born and raised in an Orthodox Jewish home. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he got saved as a result of hearing the preaching from Faithful Word Baptist Church over the internet.
Amen.
And he got saved, and I was able to baptize him.
Amen.
At Faithful Word Baptist Church. And then an entire Muslim family came about 6 months ago and got baptized at Faithful Word Baptist Church because they heard the preaching.
Amen.
And look, Jews are getting saved.
That's right.
Muslims are getting saved.
Right.
Hindus are getting saved.
Amen.
Atheists. I have people coming up to me at soul winning marathons saying, I'm an atheist. I got saved.
Amen.
Several. But none of that matters because we're not pro-Israel.
Yeah.
None of that matters because we don't believe in the pre-trib rapture. Why do they hate us? Here's why. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Now, let me stop and say this to you. Cain was a wicked person. Cain was of the wicked one. Cain was of the devil. Cain was unsaved. And what this scripture is saying here is that we as Christians, we that are saved, should not be as Cain. So we're not talking about Cain here. We're talking about Christians who are as Cain. Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
He says, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, meaning loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore? Why? And why? And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Amen.
He's saying, don't let that tendency be in you that Cain had. You're not Cain. You're not unsaved like Cain was unsaved. You're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Don't be like Cain. Love your brother in Christ.
Amen.
And dead sure don't be like Cain in the sense that you hate your brother because your own works are evil and because his are righteous.
Amen.
You see, when we see someone who is more righteous than ourselves, when we see a church that is more zealous than our church, when we see a church that's doing greater works than our church, when we see soul winning that is surpassing the soul winning that we do, we can either have a wicked spirit of envy and hatred because they're doing better than us, or we can sit back and say, wow, praise God, because I'm just glad people are being saved. And what can I learn? How can I implement that in my church, in my home? And look, I visit other churches sometimes. I don't visit other churches very often because I don't miss the services at Faithful Word. But sometimes I've been in a situation where I got to visit other churches because of traveling or illness or whatever the case may be. Sometimes we had to go to the hospital, for example, in LA for a special treatment because of a pregnancy complication at one point. And I'll tell you what, I walk into some churches from what we affectionately call the old IFB movement, the old Independent Fundamental Baptist movement. And I honestly have to say, I walk in and I see certain things that I like better about their church or things that they're doing better or things that they're really excelling in or doing a good job. And you know what? I'm taking notes of how I can be a better pastor and be a better Christian and have a better church. Amen. Because I see what they're doing. And it doesn't mean that I necessarily think that everything they're doing is great, but I see some things that they're excelling in, and I want to be like them. Amen. I want to learn from them. I want to be the best that I can be. I don't just get all mad and be like, oh man, you know, I got to make sure everybody knows that Faithful Word's better, you know. You know, I'm just thinking, hey, they're doing great on this area. Let's do that. Let's learn from that. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Does anybody know what time it is? I don't think there's a clock up here. What time is it?
8:41.
All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Listen, I don't know if everything that I preach is always 100% right, because I'm a human being and I'm not perfect. And I don't know where I rank or where he ranks or where any of us rank as far as, you know, who's the greatest preacher or the greatest church. You know, we're just trying to be the best that we can be. But let me say one thing I know for sure. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. And I know for sure that this guy's going to heaven and that he's saved. You know, I've known him long enough to know that about him. And let me tell you something. Anybody who hates me and hates him and hates any other true born-again child of God does not love the Lord.
Amen.
They don't love the Lord. That's what the Bible just said. Did you just read it? The Bible says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. Anybody who hates me, anybody who hates him, and look, we are not perfect, but we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are winning souls to Christ. Our heart burns within us with love for the Lord. We love the King James Bible. We love soul winning. We love each other. And let me tell you something. If people hate us, they don't love the Lord. It's that simple. And I don't care if they say that they hate us. You can tell who hates us and who doesn't. And the Bible says that if we love God, we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't love God. And so right away, when somebody hates me, I'm not saying that they're not saved, because there are a lot of saved people who are as Cain. And they don't love their brother in Christ. But you know what? When somebody hates my ever-loving guts, I just mark it down. That person doesn't love the Lord. And you say, well, that's prideful. That's because No. I'm a child of God. And when somebody hates me, that tells me that they don't love the Lord. Why would they hate a preacher who's preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, who's winning people to the Lord, who's teaching the King James Bible and winning? It doesn't make any sense.
Amen.
Except that even though they're saved, they're like Cain. Let me hurry up here. Genesis 37, back to Genesis 37. Why do they hate us today? Because we bring up their evil report. That's why. Number two, they hate us because God's blessing us.
Yep.
Number one, they hate us because we bring up their evil report. And number two, they hate us because God's blessing us. The Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. and could not speak peaceably unto him. Don't turn there, but in Genesis 27:41, it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. That's hatred. They hate us because God's blessing us. And then I'm going to hurry on to point three. Number three, they hate us because we have a great vision. We have a great dream. I have a dream today. But look at Genesis 37:5. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. I don't believe that Joseph was a prideful person. I don't even think that he had a desire to rule over his brethren. And the reason I say that is because when they finally come to see him, he doesn't rule over them with vigor. He does not, want to subjugate them. He actually wants to give them the best of the land. He wants them to thrive and succeed and prosper. I don't think he was prideful and wanted to rule over them at all.
Amen.
This is just what God is showing him is going to happen. You know, I had a dream. I had a dream that I went out soul winning and boldly preached the gospel from door to door every week for the last 19 years. And I had a dream that you guys were out hanging out a door hanger. I had a dream that we all had a big sheaf of wheat, and my sheaf of wheat went soul winning. And your sheaf of wheat was sitting on its fat rear end watching TV. I had a dream that the sun, moon, and stars were all out doing lifestyle evangelism. And I had a dream that I was actually doing real soul winning. Oh, well, who do you think you are? You think that you're the new leader? You think you just want to rule over us? I had a dream that 2/3 of my church went out soul winning on a regular basis.
Amen.
And that the only person that goes soul winning in your church is the person who downloads sermons from Verity Baptist Church. And he's trying to get you to come out and be his silent partner. Oh, how dare you? And let me tell you something. I would love nothing more. And you know what? God is my witness. I would love nothing more than to become the laziest pastor in America. The lamest pastor in America. The least soul-winning pastor in America. Because all these guys got out there and proved me wrong and organized a big soul-winning campaign and organized a big soul-winning marathon and say, all right, get out of the way, Pastor Anderson, you young punk. And it doesn't matter how old I get. I just had another birthday, but I'm still a young punk no matter how old I get, no matter how many children I sire. But I just wish that these pastors in Arizona would say, get out of the way, you post-trib, anti-Israel, homo-hating little punk. We're going to show you how the old school IFB movement does soul winning. And I see your 100 soul winners. you know, in whatever, Portland, Oregon, or whatever. Oh, I see that. I'll raise you 200.
Amen.
And you know what? Some of these churches are a lot bigger than ours. You know, okay, Faithful Word. I see your 11 soul winning times per week. I'll raise you another 11. I'll have 22 soul winning times per week, all of them filled with soul winners. All of them active, all of them thriving. I would love that.
Amen.
God is my witness. I would love it if the fundamental Baptists in America got so on fire and started preaching such awesome sermons, and they actually figured out how to use YouTube, and they actually figured out how to use social media, and they actually just started uploading a bunch of red hot sermons, and they drove the sodomites back into the closet, and they preached hard and had soul winners going up and down, and we would, every time we see these people, we wouldn't think it's the Mormons, we wouldn't think it was the Jehovah's Witnesses, we would know it was an independent fundamental Baptist, to the point where people said, Steven Anderson, who? Who? Forget him, man. It's Jack Treiber. It's Paul Chappell. That's who we ought to be following. They're the ones going all over America, ripping it up with all these soul-winning marathons. Right? I mean, forget Verity Baptist Church, man. It's Stephen Nichols down at Regency that's ripping it up. And he's the one that's on the news telling sodomites to go to hell. Would you? You're in competition with him, or would you love that?
Love it.
He's all the way in Orangevale. I'd love it. And you know what? I still love Pastor Nichols.
Amen.
And I thank God for everything he did in my life. I thank God for what he did in Pastor Jimenez's life. I thank God that he used to rip those sodomites so hard, and he used to say, put them all on a boat and give them enough gas to get halfway out in the ocean and let the sharks eat them. That's what he said.
Amen.
You know what? He taught us soul winning.
Yep. Right.
Pastor Nichols, you made us. You created a monster. Hey, I think Pastor Nichols is one of the greatest influences I had in my life. What do you think?
Amen.
Do you agree with that?
Yes,
I think Pastor Nichols is one of the greatest influences in my life. I love him. I will love him till the day I die.
Amen.
You know, he is going to get some serious rewards in heaven.
Amen.
I'm serious. For his own works and for the works of those that he taught. You know, his star pupil here, Pastor Roger Jimenez. You know, I mean, whether he'll claim us or not, it's true. I'm serious. I love Pastor Nichols.
Amen.
We're a product of his ministry. He made us this way. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. You think it's funny, but I'm serious. Man, I would love for his church to be three times as big as Verity Baptist Church.
Amen.
And to have hundreds of soul winners out in the field.
Yeah.
And I'm not down on them. I don't know how much soul winning they do or don't know. I'm not criticizing them at all. When I was there, it was a lot of great soul winning. They're probably doing soul winning now. They're doing great. But let me tell you something. There's no competition. You know what? I would love it if half of my church left tomorrow and join some red-hot soul-winning church right across the town that was even more fired up than we are. Wouldn't even care. Because we're all on the same team.
Amen.
But you know what? They don't feel that way.
That's right, they don't.
They don't like our dream.
Yeah.
They don't like our vision. They don't like what we see of a vision of knocking every door in America. Of knocking every door in California, every door in Arizona, every Indian reservation, every town, every village, every hamlet. They don't like our vision. They see us coming with our coat of many colors, and they see us coming with our great dreams and vision, and they gnash on us with their teeth. Why do they hate us? Doesn't make any sense. Except that they don't love the Lord. Then it makes sense. Except if they are slothful, then it makes sense. Except if they're starting to act like Cain, then it makes sense. Why do they hate us? Well, the reason that they hate us, the same reason they hated Joseph. They hate us because we bring their evil report. They hate us because we are being blessed by God. And they hate us, thirdly, because we have a great vision. And let me tell you something. We are the de facto leaders of soul winning in America right now.
Amen.
People are looking, just type in soul winning and see what comes up on the internet. Oh, the internet doesn't matter. Well, welcome to 2017, where the internet matters. Type in Independent Fundamental Baptist. Type in soul winning. Type in hard preaching. Type in red hot preaching. You might end up watching this very video. And so the point is that we're not trying to be the leader. We're not trying to be the tip of the spear. You know what we're trying to do? We're just trying to be like Joseph. We're just trying to save much people alive.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to do. There's a famine of hearing God's word. I had a dream where there were these seven skinny cows that represented seven fundamental Baptist churches in my area. And then I had a dream that these seven fat cows came, full of meat and steak and sirloin and filet mignon and all kinds of rump roast and beef. And I saw those seven fat kine were called, they had little bells. And on the bell, it was engraved with the name Faithful Word, Verity Baptist, Faith Baptist, Old Path Baptist, Steadfast Baptist, Word of Truth Baptist, right? You know, Liberty Baptist, you know, and it, you know, it's just the way it is. It's just that Joseph did what the Lord told him to do, and the rest of them were goofing around and not getting the job done. That's why he became the leader.
Amen.
We don't care about being the leader. We want people to pass us up.
Amen.
We want people to blow our doors off.
Yep.
We love them. We love our fundamental Baptist brothers.
Amen.
And we love lost souls, and we just want people to be saved.
Amen.
That's all we want. And, you know, you guys are so hateful. Yeah, we hate queers. Okay, there, I said it. But you know what we don't hate? We don't hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? What do you think's the big... Let's pretend for a minute that hating queers is a sin. Which it's not. It's a sin not to, amen? But, hey, that's another sermon. But listen, let's pretend for a minute that it were a sin. Let me ask you a question. Everybody just listen up. What's the bigger sin? Hating your brother in Christ or hating a transvestite? Just ask yourself that question. Even Donald Trump doesn't want the transvestites. Right? Can we at least get a Baptist preacher that will ban what Trump has banned? Trump's not exactly a fundamental Baptist. If he can ban them from the U.S. Army, can we ban them from the Lord's Army?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the thing is, hey, you know, they have this great beam in their eye of hating God's people, of hating a Muslim who got saved 6 months ago because he listens to Pastor Anderson. Of hating Roger Jimenez because he makes us look bad in the media. The best you ever looked is when somebody compared you to him. That's the best you ever looked. Was when you're like, oh, you're a fundamental Baptist like Verity Baptist. For a second, you looked pretty good. until you began to curse and swear and say, I know not the man. But let me tell you something. Hating your brother in Christ is a big sin. Hating your sister in the Lord's a big sin. But you're too worried about people hating on trannies and weirdos and what, you know, it's just, look, we're living in a world that's upside down. You say, what's the moral of the story? Well, the moral of the story is we're going to be hated for doing right. We're going to be hated when we bring up the evil report. We're going to be hated if we are blessed by God. We're going to be hated if we have a big vision, a big dream, because people say, oh, you're trying to lead us. Oh, sorry, I wasn't trying to lead. It's just you guys are going so slow, I ended up in the front. Even though I'm a bad runner. Even though I'm an amateur, even though I'm just mediocre at best. Sorry, I ended up in the front because you didn't even enter the race. You didn't even sign up. You haven't even stopped walking. You haven't even broken into a light jog. Excuse me for lapping you. They're going to hate you. They don't just hate me and him. They hate us all. They're going to hate you. It's something to rejoice in. And we're not to hate them back. That's what the sermon's about. Don't be like Cain. Don't be like, look, I don't care if they hate me. I love them, every one of them. That's saved and a child of God. Obviously, if somebody's a false prophet who's teaching, you know, a false salvation, let them be accursed. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if somebody preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. But let me tell you something. Every pastor who is saved and who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't care how Zionist they are, how apple pie eating, flag waving, pre-trib, whatever they are, I love them.
Amen, Pastor.
And I'll be their friend. And you know what? If they need help, I would help them. And I want them to succeed. And I want their church to go. I've had these pre-trib Zionists contact me and say, how do I succeed on YouTube? And I wrote back with detailed instructions. Step one, start preaching good sermon. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, I wrote back and said, hey, you know, here's how you name the videos. Here's how you handle the tags. Here's how you use Facebook. Here's how you use the ads. Here's how you do it. You know, and I gave them step-by-step instructions. Why? Because they believe the gospel. I want them to succeed. I don't hate them. I love every single one of them.
Amen.
And you know what? Just because people hate us, we don't need to hate them back.
Right.
We are to love our enemies and love those who hate us.
That's right.
And that's what the Bible's teaching here. So yeah, they're going to hate us. But you know what? Joseph didn't hate his brethren. He could have crushed them. He became the ruler of Egypt. When they came in, he could have just said, off with their heads. Torture them first. Destroy them. But you know what he did? He fed them. He gave them gifts. And he said, you guys live in the best of the land. I love you guys. Oh, but what about all that bad stuff we said about you? What about when we sold you into... You know what? I'm not God. I forgive you. I love you. That's a Christian attitude right there. And you know what? They hate us without a cause. The world hates us, that makes sense. When Christians hate us, it's sad.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But does it bother us? No, because it's just more rewards.
Right.
We'll leap for joy. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and dying for us and forgiving us, Lord. And if you forgave us, we can forgive anyone for anything they've ever said or done to us. Lord, help us to not hate our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. And I pray that those who hate us would repent, Lord. And I pray that every single person in this room who maybe they go to a church where they get persecuted or people hate on them, or maybe their family hates on them, or maybe people at their job hate them because of their godliness, Lord. I pray that they would not get discouraged or get down, Lord. Help them to realize they're not alone. Christ was hated, the prophets were hated, the apostles are hated, we're hated, Lord. Help them to rejoice in persecution and help them to overcome evil with good and love those who hate them, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.